This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the monthly reaction show here. This time we're at the Clash of the Champions for WWE. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always by my co-host, the Oracle of the WWE, Mr. Devin Hales. Devin, interesting show tonight, wasn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah, it was. Jeez, it's like, you know, it's like when you go to Walmart and you go to those, like, bins and those bottom-of-the-barrel movie bins, you know?
Yes.
And you find something, and you're just looking, and not even the good bad movies are there, you know. You just this was an interesting show.
Yeah, you pick out one, you're like, okay, this is good. Then you just pick about six or seven of them, and like, God, these are terrible. and then you'll find one more good one, and that's okay. I'll just go with these. So yes, this was a tale of two shows, for sure. All right, and the thing is, going to this show, I mean, SmackDown, as far as a TV show, has really been on a downward spiral in the past few months. Babyface Shane McMahon has been an issue. a lot of the angles are just flat. There's been some consistencies, and we'll talk about in the show with AJ Styles, how awesome he is, and I mean, there's been some consistencies, but wow. Their TV show has been sometimes a tough watch. So you have their brand on the pay-per-view, and this is the first one they've had since October?
Yeah. Since Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. So it's been a while since they've had one.
2.5 months.
Yeah, been a while since they have one. And it's sad, though, that one of the hottest angles on the show is in the kickoff.
Yeah.
And we'll lead off with that. Mojo Rawley versus Zack Ryder in the Battle of the Hype Bros. Mojo got some new music, which is not as hype, but hype enough. Kind of like a bad guy thing going on to it, which I kind of like his new music. He showed a different type of intensity than he normally does. He was, of course, not playing to the crowd, but he was definitely intense as hell. I mean, Zach was Zach. And I like Zach opening up the match, just going right into him, you know, since this is supposed to be a feud. I mean, there's hatred here because, you know, Mojo fucking turned on Zach. It's, you know, no lockups. We're going to start off right with a fucking strike. And I thought it was a fun match. Both guys looked good. They conveyed that they didn't like each other well. Mojo was hitting pretty hard. I don't know if I said it went too long. It started getting a little longish at the end, but they pretty much timed it just right. Mojo had got the heat, of course, and Zach came back, and Mojo popped him with a chop block, got the win. Right Man won. What do you think about the match and Zack Ryder's prospects here forward?
The match was fun. I really liked they had a video package, and
yes,
honestly,
yes,
it was the best video package of the night. It was better than the AJ Jinder video package. It was like literally the best video package they produced tonight. It was a fun match. I think, I do want to point out that Mojo's promo that he did on his phone on Twitter that he released was excellent and the best promo he's ever done.
I agree. Yes. It's one of the best promos this year in WWE.
Yeah, it really is. It was very much an old school promo. There are times, and even most of the time, and it was sort of the same thing tonight, where Mojo gets lost in the match. He doesn't really know what he's doing at times, But he definitely has the charisma, and he definitely has the attitude and aggressiveness down pat. He's still got stuff he's got to put together in terms of, like, you know, figuring out what to do next and putting sequences together and whatnot. But I agree. I think the aggressiveness and the hatred was definitely shown in that match. And the running punch is an awesome finisher, and he does it really well. And the one he landed tonight looked brutal. So I thought it was a fun match. Zack Ryder, I don't know what they're gonna do with Zack Ryder. SmackDown is, I don't trust SmackDown to do anything interesting with mid-carders.
No, their track record's been pretty spotty.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the Bludgeon Brothers and Breezango and Mojo Rawley before they decided to break up the Hype Bros, and even Baron Corbin at times, or even though I hate him, Dolph Ziggler. Like, I mean, just like
Ty Dillinger.
Ty Dillinger. Yeah, where the hell is Ty Dillinger? Like, they don't do anything with their mid-carders. So I don't really trust SmackDown to do anything with Zack Ryder anytime soon, to be honest. Someone mentioned where if Zack Ryder goes to the Indies, what would his name would be? I said it would be Zack Ryder with two K's, the son of Bob Ryder in Impact Wrestling.
Maybe. I think the dispute's not done. I think they're gonna have more matches. I'm pretty damn sure they'll probably have a match Tuesday on SmackDown.
They probably will, yeah.
Because that's the way WWE does things. We're going to get a series of matches. Even though the heel won, the right guy won, we're going to have more matches. It's just the way they do it. That's their modus operandi lately. And Mojo's a guy who, there's definitely something there. It's just, he needs to be programmed with somebody that's going to be a good mentor for him in the ring. You know, you look at SmackDown, you know, maybe Ty. Ty is the guy who they could put him with. Ty's got the experience, right. You know, he knows how to work. Put him with Ty Dillinger, you know, let him have a mid-card feud. I don't see any problems with that. Let him work his way up, you know?
Yeah.
And then eventually maybe work Bobby Roode in a few, maybe for the U.S. title down the line or something like that. You know, there's ways you can go. So, I mean, they have something there in Mojo, I think. They just got to cultivate it.
They do. Yep.
They got to cultivate it. All right, other than that, the pre-show is pretty meh. Not a whole lot going on. David Otunga there and doing nothing. Charlotte and Natty had a deal there where Natty was kissing on Sam Roberts and David Otunga, which was weird. We had New Day talking with Kayla Braxton doing New Day shit. Renee with her gold lame top, well, I should have been a solid gold dancer from 1986. it was just pretty nondescript pre-game show.
So what's with Kayla Braxton, Dasha Fuentes, and Charlie Caruso all being like three versions of the same person in appearance?
Well, okay.
They all look alike.
Well, Paul has a type, doesn't he?
I suppose.
Just like Big Johnny had a type. You know, blondes with big tits. You know,
I think you're right. I think you're right.
There is a type there.
I think you're right. You know, brunette. Stephanie's brunette.
Of course, so. Yeah. Paul has Well, China was a brunette. So Paul has his type. But
I never thought of it that way.
At least Charlie Caruso has charisma in a way.
Yeah.
Dasha is just like talking to the wall. Kayla, I mean, she's fine for what she does. I mean,
yeah, she's okay.
But yes, you're right. There is a lot of sameness going on. And then, let's see. Kayla's still basically working in NXT. Chris St. Cloud's there, but she's blonde, so she's against type. But
that's true.
But yeah, they there is something there to that for sure. It's interesting to see how the hiring practices goes for women sometimes, and in this company. But yeah, Dasha, Kayla, and Renee all on one show is kind of odd. Because Charlie Caruso normally handles everything on the Raw shows by herself.
Right, right. Yeah, she's pretty much the Raw person now, the Raw interviewer.
Yeah, so a lot of chefs in the kitchen, if you will. All right, we start off the main show here with a 3-way dance for United States Heavyweight title. Baron Corbin defending against Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. And Bobby Roode was mega over here. The fans were loving him, his entrance, and just chanting glorious. And they were pretty red hot for him. Dolph has, you know, has some good heat, you know, more heat than he's had recently. Corbin, well, Corbin's Corbin. The match, I mean, you look at this match on paper, and you say, okay, this might not be good. I mean, Corbin is here and there. You know, sometimes you get some good things, sometimes you don't. Bobby Roode, you know, he's usually good, but sometimes he could have a stink or two. Dolph, well, Dolph is Dolph.
Mm. Yeah.
This match here was probably the second best match of the show. They went out and had a hell of a match. I think it worked better being a 3-way. And I'm going to say that for the next match too when we get to it. I think that if this match was a straight up singles match, it wouldn't have worked nearly as well. So I think the fact that they made it a 3-way helped the match out. Everyone looked good. They were hitting their big moves. The fans were definitely into it. Corbin ripped his shirt off, which I thought was funny. he wasn't hiding his gut. The fans were definitely wanting Roode to win. They were biting on the near falls. The last few minutes there where they were trading near falls was really good. And then, you know, Dolph hitting that zigzag out of nowhere as Corbin was going for end the days on Roode was a pretty cute finish. Problem is, it was fucking Dolph Ziggler winning the U.S. title. And let's be honest here, Dolph Ziggler lately has been, you know, just a non-factor. I mean, nobody gives a fuck about him. Although he had a little bit of reaction tonight. Nobody gives a fuck about Dolph Ziggler. There's always the rumors about him, you know, he's leaving when his contract's up. But here he is getting the title. So, I don't know. But I probably believe that his reign as champion won't last long. And I probably see him losing the title as early as Tuesday. It's Roode. So, I guess it's a way to get the title on Roode without having to drop Corbin.
Right.
But you're kind of putting yourself in a spot there because, I mean, Corbin could say that I didn't lose the title to Roode. I lost it to Ziggler, and you know that way he can get in a match at Roode or whatever. But I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised by this match. So props to all those guys. Thoughts on the match and Dolph Ziggler as U.S. champion.
Yeah, the match was good. At first, I think it was kind of just there. And when they started hitting their big spots and then the crowd started to get into it, you know, it started to get to be a pretty good match. I really liked the false finish deal where they changed it up and it looked like Corbin was going to steal the pin after the glorious DDT, and then Roode got rid of him, and then Corbin pulled his leg out right before the three.
Yeah.
That was well done. And in some ways the Ziggler finish where he won the belt tonight was a nice kind of callback to the triple threat with Corbin and AJ from the final SmackDown Live of 2016, where Dolph got a huge near fall off of that very same double team spot.
I didn't even think about that. Wow, that's awesome.
And in some ways, this sounds kind of... It's really actually no, it really isn't a burial of the U.S. title in terms of what I'm bringing up, but I kind of like the idea of him it being a really close near fall for the WWE title and him winning it with the U.S. title. a sort of a hierarchy for the belts. But I don't really know if that was seen. I don't know if that's just me creating that sort of story there or not.
And it's a really good story, but it's too bad they didn't think of that or mention it on
sometimes they do have this attention to detail, and they'll surprise you. But I don't think that that's the case here.
Not with Dolph.
But it's just it's just something that I noticed. But yeah, I mean, it was a good match. Dolph as U.S. champion sucks. You know, I said earlier on Twitter that we can. Jot down Road Dogg killing the U.S. title as another shitty part of his resume in 2017. I tend to agree with you. I don't see him holding the belt much longer. It's very possible he even loses it Tuesday, like you said. I do think this thing will eventually end with Rude as U.S. champ.
It's funny looking at how the secondary titles is being treated now. You know, it goes back and forth. Sometimes Intercontinental titles gets better treatment on the show it's on. Sometimes U.S. title gets better treatment on the show it's on. I mean, now it's pretty much, you know, a no-brainer that the Intercontinental title is far beyond superior to the U.S. title right now.
And think about 2015, you know, when the U.S. title was far superior.
The U.S. title actually was probably better than the world title.
Oh, it was. It definitely was. I mean, the U.S. title was the most important title in the company for several months there. And then, really, you can say that now.
Because, Brock's not defending the Universal title. I mean, he is in the Rumble, but he's not around. Roman's got the belt, have these great matches on television against everybody. So we're back at that spot again. The IC title is the title right now.
Yep. It switches back and forth. It's interesting. That's a very good point.
But yeah, I mean, the U.S. title does need a kick in the ass, and I mean, it does. Whether you like Rude or not as a worker, I mean, the guy is over. So at least that means something. Like I said, a Rude Mojo feud in the future definitely makes sense, and give Mojo something to work his way up if they go that way, which I think that should be the way they go, but there could be bigger fish to fry for Mojo, who knows? But I don't know, we'll see. But Corbin, I don't know about Corbin right now. He's another guy that's kind of just stuck because the problem with SmackDown is everybody's worked everybody, and there's there's really nothing fresh left for some of these guys. Especially guys that's been there the whole time. So Corbin's in that spot where, I mean, he's going to have to be somebody that's going to have to be moved in the shakeup.
Oh, yeah. After Mania, he's going to have to be sent up to Raw.
Send to Raw. Yeah. Yeah, send him to Raw, for sure.
Yeah, because SmackDown is a shot in the arm, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. SmackDown needs way more shot on than Raw does.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed Raw quite a bit this year, actually.
Raw's found a way to...
They've tried with the mid-card.
Yes. And it's worked. The mid-card, it seems
that's
important.
That's the key. You know, they've tried with the mid-card, and it's worked on Raw. And on SmackDown, they've completely abandoned the mid-card. That's really the key difference between the shows. Well, other than the main event feuds on Raw are more interesting than the ones on SmackDown, too. But
yeah, I mean, you look at Raw, and like it or not, you know, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt is a feud right now that feels fresh. And Matt is doing, you know, the gimmick again, the broken gimmick, woken gimmick. So it feels fresh, and you got stuff like Elias, and you got, you know, stuff going on, multiple things going on in that show that makes that show feel like it's more important than SmackDown. Now, SmackDown, sometimes it's just a big time killer for some of this stuff. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with Dolph as U.S. champion. After the match, Daniel Bryan was in the back, and they brought him a referee shirt, and Daniel was upset because it was too damn big, so it was made like for Earthquake. And Shane says his was fit just fine because Shane's was tight on its muscles. And then they talked a bunch of shit, and Brian said, we'll talk about our strategy in private. So I wonder if they did once we watched the main event, because they ain't talking to each other at all. But that's another story.
Yeah.
Dasha, who was wearing a very green, sparkly bottom of his pants or whatever. Her and Renee, if they would have got their top and bottom together, that would have been a hell of a costume. tried to interview Baron Corbin and basically told him that he's got a rep now for squandering opportunities, which caused him to throw a trash can and said Dolph was going to pay. So we'll see how that goes. So basically Baron's gimmick now is he doesn't fulfill his opportunities. He's wasting away his potential. That's always good.
That's the wasting away his potential for speaking up during a what the hell's that story? I can't remember.
Oh God, I can't even remember. Oh, the concussion thing.
Yeah.
With Dr. Maroon. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Baron.
Killed his potential when he's.
Yeah, they took his.
When he disagreed with Dr. Maroon.
Took his briefcase away and. Never been the same. All right, next we have a fatal four-way for the tag titles. Usos defending against the New Day. This time it's Big E and Kofi. I'm pretty sure Kofi's in the match because they were in Boston. Then we have Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. And the awesomeness of Rusev and Aiden English, who were on fire tonight with that crowd. The crowd was loving every minute of the introduction. Aiden singing Rusev. Rusev Day was in full effect in Boston tonight. And you got to give them credit, man. They've gotten that over. I mean, Aiden English was a guy who everybody thought was probably left for dead. Once Simon Gotch was cut and the Vaudevillains was broken up. Well, let's look at it now. All right, Aiden English has got this gimmick. They gave back his singing gimmick. He's with Rusev. He's in a tag title match on pay-per-view. Simon Gotch is working in the indies and getting like ROH TV title matches on television. I think Aiden worked out pretty well.
I think so too.
And so, and Rusev, should Rusev be doing bigger things? Probably so. But he looks like he's having fun and, they got something there if they try to work with it, so we'll see. Now, the match, this was a hell of a damn match. Now, there's a problem, though. It was a hell of a damn match, but it's confusing as hell, too. Because they worked this match as like two separate matches going on at the same time in the ring. Oh, now, God. If there was ever a match that needed two referees, it's this one. Because normally with four-way tag team matches, normally it's guys tagging in whoever they want to tag. But in this match, the rules were you have to tag in your own teammate because there's two matches going at the same time in the ring. And it's like, huh? I mean, it started out like everybody was confused. And then we started getting high spots. And that's where it picked up. And these guys... I mean, they all of them could do some really cool stuff, and they were all doing it here. And there were some really strong near falls and false finishes, and people were getting into it. Chad Gable with his chaos theories on dudes, especially Big E, was pretty damn great. And Usos coming in and cleaning house on him and putting him away to win the match. Usos retain the titles, probably the right decision. But I tell you what, I wouldn't have had the problem at all if they would have called in all of them and put the titles on Rusev Day. Maybe they'll get a shot down the line, which I hope they do against the Usos proper. But I thought this was a really strong match, and if it went for them shitty rules, it'd probably been even better. So what's your thoughts?
I think it was cool to see Rusev Day get that big baby face reaction. I can't tell if they're faces or heels.
Oh, they're heels. They're heels.
That's true. Yeah, they are. That's true.
Because, this is two face teams and two heel teams.
That's true. I forget that Usos are faces now.
Well, that's what I was. When they started piling up with New Day, I was like, what the fuck? When did that turn happen? And then people were telling me, oh, they had the respect thing of Hell in the Cell. I said, huh?
Well, I mean, they did, but I didn't know they were going to be best
buds. Yeah, like, that was quick.
It's weird.
I don't know. I mean, hey, I've been watching 1986 Continental lately, and I mean, they had two big turns there, where they when they turned Adrian Street babyface, when they turned the Stud Stable babyface. I mean, yeah, they had the Armstrongs and the Stud Stable, you know, being friends after they had this huge blood feud for a year, and here they are piling up a team with each other. That was going on back then too. It's weird. It's just a weird thing in wrestling. Yeah,
it's weird stuff. I missed the first couple of minutes. My stream went out. I had to try the Amazon TV. Didn't work. Went to the laptop. That didn't work. So I had to watch the show on my phone, which wasn't bad. I mean, it's fine. It's, you know, I had the Cowboys game on a mute, Twitter on the laptop. But the first half was not good. It was bad. The second half was great. My problem with the match is the second half still could have been great if they just worked a traditional four-way tag where you could tag in anybody and two guys are in the ring.
Yeah, that the rules
were wrong. They could have done all the high spots. You know, they could have made a few extra tags and to get the legal men right for the near falls. But other than that, it would have been the same thing. So why the hell did they have to do this stupid, confusing, bad stipulation?
Brian James, folks.
God almighty. Ugh. God, you know what? He's like a TNA writer.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
He's also a guy who, he's a Russo guy too, in ways. So
it was really stupid. But yeah, the second half of the match was great. Rusev Day had an awesome reaction. They were Boston crowd was going nuts for Rusev Day to win. Good finish. I thought it was the right choice to have the Usos retained. So yeah, I liked the match. I thought it was good. It's just the overcomplicated rules in the first half of the match really hurt it. It could have been much better, I think, even though it was a good match.
Yeah, the rules definitely hindered it at the beginning, for sure. And then once they just basically pretty much got away from that and started doing all the spots, then it definitely picked up. But I don't know. We'll see where they go from here. I'm guessing. I mean, Rusev Day and Usos look like the way to go. So maybe they'll do that.
Yeah.
Rusev and Big E working together is always fun as well to see them have interactions.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we'll see. And New Day, of course, in their Christmas attire here. We're like big Christmas presents. All right. After this match on Twitter, I tweeted out, now it's time for this show to fall off a cliff. Boy, was I not wrong. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. If you turned it off after this and then didn't turn it back on until the main event, you would have thought, man, this is a pretty damn good show. I mean, this is one of the better shows of the year. Well, let's talk about the next hour and a half. We start off with the Lumberjack match.
Oh, God.
Charlotte Flair defending her women's title against Natalya. Now, if I remember correctly, on SmackDown, recently, the women have their interest have been cut due to time constraints and stuff like that. They're not getting any interest in just showing them in the ring. Well, all of them got interest is here for this. All of them. Now,
time killer.
Yeah, here's the confusing thing about this whole thing. This is a Lumberjack match. Only one of the Lumberjacks was a babyface. One. Okay. The Riot Squad ate everybody. So they're heels. Carmella, Lana, and Tamina are heels. So how they had this thing stretched out, Naomi is the only babyface. Naomi stood on one side of the ring by herself. The Riot Squad stood at one side of the ring, all three of them. Carmella, Lana, and Tamina stood on the other side of the ring. Then on the last side of the ring, there was nobody. How do you have a lumberjack match and not have nobody on one side of the ring? That's crazy. And then they did this match where Charlotte kept getting thrown into the sides where the three people were on. So Naomi was standing there doing nothing. And she never came to help at all. She just was standing there watching everything. And the work was just shitty. Naomi finally got involved. She did a big dive to the floor on everybody. And then Charlotte hit a moonsault, but the problem was she landed on her feet. Now, yeah. She hit one of them with her ass. Does that.
Part of that's her height, I think.
Maybe, but she hit one of them with her ass. I think maybe she hit Sarah Logan in the head with her ass, but that was it. And yeah. Almost fell down. But, so we got our lumberjack brawl as expected. Man, it looked like Natalya was going to win this thing with that sharpshooter, but no, they eventually got out of that, and Charlotte, you know, got her figure eight to retain her title. Thank God the match is over. And then we have Kayla Braxton interviewing Natalya after the match. I was like, oh boy. And then Natalya starts talking about how Charlotte cheated because of who she is. I thought, oh no, this feud's going to continue. And then she just cut this weird promo about how everybody's turned against her, and now she's going to turn her back on them. Was she a heel anyway?
Yes.
That's what I thought. So she's already turning everybody. And she started crying and walked out of the ring. The fans were doing the na na na, hey, goodbye for. This seemed like a way to get her off television. So who knows? But that was a weird segment. I don't know. SmackDown women and Raw women are on a different level right now, kind of like the IC title and the US title. So. I mean, the Riot Squad's done okay. They've added some new blood, but it's nowhere near the Raw women right now. So they got to do some. This is another thing. SmackDown's mid card and their women's division just needs a total revitalization. Now Becky's gonna come back, and the thing is, you know, what do you do with her? I mean, I've seen speculation that she may turn. Which would be probably ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you don't need any more damn heels. So,
nope.
I don't know. So, thoughts on the SmackDown Women Division and this horrible match?
Man, this match sucked. I mean, this really sucked. The highlights were Naomi's dive and Carmella teasing a cash-in. And even that lasted, like, you know, 3 seconds. You know, before you realize, you know, maybe it is kind of dumb for you to try to cash in when.
Oh, I want. Yeah, you brought Carmella, which maybe I forgot one of the talking points I wanted to do. Man, is she lost without James Ellsworth?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, Ellsworth was really the huge part of her act, and she's really suffering because of that. She had tons of heat with Ellsworth in the summer, and that's all gone now. And that's a shame. Yeah, it's crazy. This just was one of the worst women's matches of the year in WWE, probably.
It really was.
It was just a total mess. It was just sort of the crowd didn't care.
Nope.
Like there was weird, you know, it was basically stomp, kick, throw Charlotte to the floor, get her stomp kicked on. Oh my gosh, I think the Raiders may have just got a touchback.
That tells you when we're recording this, folks.
Sorry.
That's why Devin's distracted, everybody. Because Devin is a Cowboys fan. yes, Derek Carr, that ball's out of his hands.
I'm sorry, but it's easy It's easy to be distracted with something else when you're talking about.
Oh God, yes.
But it was really bad. Like, just nothing was interesting about it at all. It's just, man. And the post-match stuff didn't make any sense.
Nope.
Like, someone brought up that maybe Natty will go and work Ember Moon in Philadelphia, which wouldn't shock me.
I don't see it. There's way too many women in NXT now. They don't need to bring somebody else down.
That's true. That's a good point. You know, I don't know what this whole deal is with Natty. I don't really care, to be honest. It's just, it's bizarre. The SmackDown Women's Division hasn't been good all year.
And I guess it's Alexa left.
Turning Charlotte face was a mistake. I understand why they did it because of Rick's illness and the 30 for 30 and winning the title in the hometown of Charlotte and all this stuff. But she's better as a heel. When your two most likable baby faces, Becky Lynch and Naomi, are not being used in any capacity at all for months on end, it doesn't help at all. When James Ellsworth leaves and Carmella is left without her heat magnet,
yep.
That doesn't help her at all. Natalia's old news and completely washed up as a character at this point. And she's not particularly good in the ring either. Tamina is one of the worst women's wrestlers of all time. It's just
Lana.
And, you know, God, what's with Lana and Carmella wearing the same outfit?
Like I said on Twitter, weird. I mean, Lana as a character is dead. Dead.
Yeah,
it's, because Total Divas has killed brutal. Her dead. I mean, putting her away of Rusev but her on Total Divas, and just being herself and not an accent, I mean, just killed that character. Because why does anybody care if she's trying to talk like a Russian here anymore? We know what she is.
Oh. No one, yeah, it's completely killed. It's just the division and, you know, the Riot Squad. I like Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan. I'm not a Liv Morgan fan. But they don't really seem to have good chemistry.
Well, here's the thing.
A touchback. Yay.
Yes. Here's the thing with the Riot Squad I want to bring up. They were all baby faces in NXT.
Yes, they were. Yeah.
Ruby Riott does have some heel charisma, at least. I mean, but God bless Liv. I mean, Liv is such a babyface. It's hard for me to even see her as a heel. Sarah can do both, but here's the problem with them. You compare them with, because you have to, because they did this the same time. You compare them with Absolution. Absolution smokes them out every way. Every way.
Well, I think it's odd because,
and there's a storyline reason why Absolution is together, so you have that right. As an advantage, because Paige was part of, you know, was part of the training for these two and tough enough.
Sure,
so, I mean,
sure.
So you got all that going on, and Mandy and Sonya are heels anyway. Mandy is about the, you know, she's gonna be a big star, but I mean, it's so ready made. Just Ruby, Liv, and Sarah just felt like something just thrown together at the last minute. When this probably should have been Iconic and somebody else, maybe with them. You know, Peyton and Billy would have been a far better choice on the main roster than what we got right now.
Right. It just doesn't. And a part of the problem is, and I think this has hurt, you know, Paige is a solid promo over on Raw for Absolution. It's hurt their segments a lot when they have Mandy and Sonya talk. Ruby's not awful, but she's not really good either on the mic. And then, you know, you have Sarah with her, you know, God bless her accent. Liv, God bless her accent. It's like, they just, and the matches really haven't been all that great either. Like, Even the Ruby Charlotte match on SmackDown, funny enough, the best moments of that match were during the ad break, which the poor Canadians can't even see. So, you know, it's you know, our Canadian friends can't even watch that.
Well, here's the thing about, so the portrayal does me so weird, because Absolution on Raw has been portrayed as this dominant type faction, because they've had the advantage all the time except for what happened on Raw Monday, when everybody came out together as a joint force and got rid of them. You know, SmackDown, the Riot Squad. I mean, they look like wannabes.
Yes. Well, the funny thing is, let's talk about how they're doing the exact same angle on both shows.
Yes.
They did the same angle on Raw and SmackDown this past week, where the whole roster attacks them.
Yeah.
What the hell? Why are they mirroring these two storylines? It doesn't, like, it's very bizarre. It doesn't make sense to me. And we've spent a lot of time on this, but I will say that there's one positive. Partly is because I was freaking out because the Cowboys won on a crazy play. there is depth now in these divisions, which is the huge positive.
Just not on the babyface side of SmackDown.
Right. I'm just saying, just in numbers, in terms of numbers, you know, there's 10, 12, 13 women on these.
Well, I firmly believe we're getting that Women's Royal Rumble.
Oh, sure. I think we are too. Which I think is another topic to have of discussion that we can have possibly in January.
Yeah.
Where I'm not sure that's such a good idea. Just because two Rumble matches in one show sounds a little bit agonizing, even though I love the Rumble.
Yeah, it could be overkill, but we'll see what happens. I mean, it looks very plausible. All right, let's get back here. Dosh interviewed Jinder next, but the Singh brothers talked instead. They were there. Jinder was meditating. He needed to. Maybe that's what helped him out later. And the Singh said, Jinder didn't need him tonight. Sure, okay. We'll see. All right. Next match, the Bludgeon Brothers, Harper and Rowan, against Breezango. Holy shit, they killed them. Now, one of the highlights of SmackDown the past few weeks has been the Bludgeon Brothers squash matches. Now, the one last Tuesday with Colin Delaney and Juan Francisco de Coronado was amazing.
Yes.
Because they just killed those guys. And then Breezango came out here, and they just got killed too. And I mean, at least they're getting Harper and Rowan over doing that as being, you know, these guys are just kicking the shit out of everybody. But I mean, I'm gonna be interested how long they go with this, because you can't do this for too long, because then it starts getting samey. So they're gonna need to have somebody to go up against. Maybe New Day is going to be their first one. I don't know. But Breezango not looking good for them. So what you think of the match and the burial of Breezango?
The squash wasn't bad. I actually think the TV squashes were better, but it was okay. In a way, I feel bad for Breezango. In a way, I don't. I think the Fashion Files ran their course a couple of months ago, maybe even further back than that. I think it became a bad, unfunny segment.
Yes, I agree totally.
Taking up time, like doing stupid shit like Stranger Things, and it was just like in Saw. Like it just became a meme, and like it was no longer entertaining after like the fourth or fifth show. You know, it slowly started to just diminish in quality over the course of time, and I think that pretty much ran its course.
I think they killed it with Twin Peaks. I think
you're probably right,
they did that, and then they just never paid off anything really, and just went way too long. It went way too long. It's like some of these movies that come out, like some of these really good comedies, that they just don't know how to end it right. And it goes like 15 to 20 minutes too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Old School was like that.
Yeah.
Stripes was like that.
Yep.
Hell, even Animal House was like that. You just don't know how to end it right. And they just didn't know how to end Fashion Files right. So.
Right. They just didn't, you know, it was, and the turning point was, you know, I don't know if this correlates with the Twin Peaks stuff, but was when they were, you know, saying that, you know, somebody was attacking them, and then it was Arn Anderson or something, and
yeah,
then they never really revealed that it was the Bludgeon Brothers until they sort of revealed that it was them now.
Yeah.
Like, randomly. Like, it was totally... Because didn't they reveal it was the Bludgeon Brothers, like, last week on SmackDown offhand?
Yes. Totally like, botched it.
It was just like a weird, like, oh, here's a clip from the WWE.com, relegated to WWE.com fashion files, where we find out that it's the Bludgeon Brothers who've been attacking you all these months that we're supposed to pay off, you know.
Yeah, just not good.
5 months ago. It sucked. You know, that was just dumb. I don't know. I don't know what they do with Breezango after this. I guess they could just keep them around to work comedy matches.
Yeah.
Every two or three months, since they don't ever put their mid-card guys on there anyways.
Yeah.
So... I'm being overly negative tonight. This was a bad 90 minutes, folks.
Yes, yes it was. All right, Dosh interviewed Owens and Zayn next, and they talk about Bryan being the referee, and they said that Bryan's the only reasonable guy on SmackDown, and Shane has been screwing them for months. So we'll see how that goes, because that's the next match, which. Everybody pretty much, I thought that this was going to be the last match, because this is the big angle, something's going to happen, you know, this is going to be the last match of the show, and AJ and Jinder was going to go on before it. Well, no, they ran this, and it was good that they did, because if this would have ended the show, this could have been one of the all-time worst endings. Now, this match was horrible. Horrible. The crowd was into the intro. I mean, they were into Bryan. They were into Nakamura. But, man, this match was just tedious. Just not good. It was a mess. Bryan and Shane having their referee deal. I made the joke on Twitter that David Manning's better than Shane, you know, as far as doing the referee shit. And, you know, it wasn't.
Sandy Barr and David Manning are.
They know how to get themselves over. But, I mean, it's just. I just don't know. I mean, they were doing stuff in the match. It's like it didn't matter. It's like the whole backdrop was about Bryan and Shane, and the match was just there in the background. And
right,
it just wasn't good. It just was not good at all. It was boring. It was tedious. Then they started to pick it up. Owens, you know, hit this frog splash on Nakamura through a table. And then Orton and Zayn, you know, were in the ring. Orton gave him the RKO. And, you know, Shane was making the count. And Owens pushed Bryan into Shane as he was counting. So Bryan took a quasi bump here, folks. So who knows? But Shane's all pissed off. They start arguing. This thing continues. Eventually, Zayn gets a schoolboy on Orton. And Shane counts one, two, and stops. And Brian gets all pissed off about it because he thought Shane screwed Zane. So then they start pushing each other and shoving each other. And then Zane gets another school bully on Orton, and Brian makes fast count. One, two, three. And that's in the match. So if you look at it from that logic, you would think that Brian is the heel in the situation. But the way Shane was, I don't know who babyface and heels are here. Because fans were in Owens and Zane, and they were happy with the finish. But here's the problem on that first schoolboy from Zane and Orton. And you guys can go back and watch this. Orton's shoulder was clearly up. And Shane was looking right at it. And I know that it was, you know, supposed to be what it was anyway. But, yeah, I mean, the camera clearly showed Orton's shoulder up. So, really, Shane didn't screw Zane anyway. So, there is that, even though he's supposed to. So, I don't know what happened there. Shane did lose his earpiece during the match, which was interesting. Because I don't think I've seen that before. At least it's been a while since our referee, you know, had that malfunction like that, like Shane did. So, I think he just went without it the rest of the match. But, Brian dipped out of there. Owens and Zane were celebrating. Shane was looking confused. And Orton with his new hair is freaky, and he was upset. I don't know what the hell's going on here. Obviously, Zane and Owens, are still going to be the top heel act on the show. I don't know where we go here with Brian. That's confusing. I don't know. I mean, this whole thing was just mass confusion, I think. Where are you lying on this?
Well, it was bizarre and bad. The fans in Boston were literally just waiting for the finishing stretch. They were waiting.
Oh yeah, they were waiting for the angle.
They were waiting for the they were waiting for the angle. So everybody sat on their hands and everybody sat on their hands and you know, you could hear a pin drop while they all waited for the angle. I originally thought this was going to be like a Backlash 2000 Over the Edge 98 deal, but it was more like a Deadly Games 98 with Shane doing the whole, stop at the three count, with the roll up.
They've done this before. Yes.
Yeah. Because what match was? Was that Austin Boss Man? I can't remember which match.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Where Shane, you know, turned heel or whatever, or it was all a plan all along. But this was just a complete total mess. There were some good high spots down the stretch. The superplex spot, you know, Randy Orton has a great superplex. The frog splash
from
the
table
got a nice pop. Yep. There were some cool little moments there. Brian taking a quasi bump, as you said, was kind of fascinating to see. And that's kind of what I was waiting for, to see if something like that would happen. But it's just, this angle sucks. And Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens suck. They're just not a good top heel act. I just can't get into these guys.
Well, they're baby faces. You think about it. They are baby faces in a way, because their boss is trying to screw them and trying to fire them.
Yeah.
So they are baby faces, and Shane's the heel, but Shane's push is the lead baby face.
Yep. It's very backwards. This does kind of feel like sex era TNA, Vince Russo.
Sports Entertainment Extreme. Yes.
At times, like, it's just bad. I just don't understand. Like, there was nothing about the match that was compelling in the earlier middle portions of the match at all. You know, they just kind of had an average tag match that would be, you know,
the heats on the authority figures.
Be disappointing on a house show, you know.
That's
It just wasn't.
The heats on the authority figures.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
what's
the problem.
What's Oda Nakamura's skin in this game? Nothing. They have. I mean, they're just putting the match. That's their. They have no motivation.
No, I mean, do they care if Owens and Zayn get fired? I really don't think they do.
I mean, I know they're trying to explain it away as that Owens and Zayn cost SmackDown the Survivor Series match. Okay, if you want to use that, okay, but still, I mean, really?
No, the Survivor Series match was all about Paul, Triple H, Levesque, and him putting himself over, and had nothing.
Exactly. He screwed Shane.
He screwed Shane.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, Shane fought them off by himself.
Yeah, he got rid of them on his own. He handled that business. It's just...
What the hell?
I mean, there's nothing there. There's no reason Orton and Nakamura, other than just being told to be in this match. I mean, they have no skin in the game.
Nope.
And that's the problem with this feud. Owens and Zayn are feuding with Shane, who will eventually wrestle, but still, it's just, and now Brian's involved, and who knows what Brian can or can't do, what they're going to let him do, and yep. Is he aligned with him, or is he not, or what's his story? I mean, they have soap opera going on here, but it is kind of, you know, it is going to be interesting to see how that goes, but that don't mean it's good.
No. It's the worst main event program in WWE all year, I think. It's pretty bad.
Even over AJ and Owens?
It's worse than AJ and Owens. Because at least AJ and Owens matches were watchable, even if I didn't think
that's true.
Good. This is just dreadful. Man, Kevin Owens is bad. Geez, he's so bad.
You are not one of his big fans, that's for sure.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
I just don't know about this one. This was just...
What can I say? I mean, it sucked.
See, I was thinking that... I mean, I know, and it wouldn't have made a whole hell of a lot of sense either. But I would have thought the way out of this match would have been Orton turning on Nakamura and refreshing Orton as a heel. And then, yeah. and then the finish you do is that Nakamura's got the RKO, and then Owens or Zayn, you know, is making the count, and like they have to count him out.
Right, right.
Shane or Brian has to make the count, no matter what.
Right.
So that's what I think. But it didn't happen that way. Oh well.
They don't know how to do this stuff with these refs anymore anyways. You know, like, it's not like, thinking like back in like SummerSlam 97 when Shawn was the ref. Like, that was great angle, you know, where he had to like begrudgingly count for Brad after the chair shot. Like, it's like they don't do these things right. It's just
Shane needs to wear the Shawn ref shorts, obviously. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. Oh, man.
All right. Well, that just confused the hell out of everybody. So, next up, we get the main event. AJ Styles defending the WWE Championship against Jinder Mahal. And Jinder's had an interesting past couple of months. He's hardly been around on television, but still, the thought is going to this match that okay, Jinder might get the title back. AJ, of course, is AJ Styles, so he's gonna. I mean, I fully expected him to, you know, be great in this match because that's AJ Styles. We gotta give Jinder Mahal a shitload of credit here. Jinder Mahal brought his A game. He went in there and he worked his ass off. And these two guys went almost 23 minutes. And this was a really strong main event match. It kind of surprised me because gender's been very hit and miss, depending on, you know, those little tricks to get by in his main event matches, especially against Orton and Nakamura. But here, he hung with AJ. He did what he needed to do, and it worked. I mean, yes, it's AJ Styles. You really have to be shitty to have a bad match with AJ Styles. But Jinder held his own, I thought. And I've seen people say this wasn't that good. And like I've seen people say this was a nothing match. I don't know what they're missing. They really must have something against Jinder. Yeah, I think that's what it is. They just are biased against Jinder Mahal for some reason and just don't think that he's a good wrestler. Because I mean this is maybe the best performance of his career in this match. So I thought the match was pretty damn good. AJ wins, you know, with the calf crusher, which I was glad to see they won with a calf crusher. He hadn't done that in a while. And AJ moves on. I'm guessing this is over with Jinder. And that's the real question that comes out of this. I mean, AJ, they may put Owens and Zayn against AJ or something like that. You know, it was the main event program. Mojo may sneak his way in. But Jinder, who knows where they go with him. So, thoughts on the match and the future of Jinder Mahal?
I thought this was a great match. I thought this was definitely Jinder's best career performance. I thought he did. I think he's always carried himself well and he has good charisma. But I thought he did a good job of working over AJ's ribs and I still think AJ probably held the match together for the most part, but Jinder did, you know, worked his role really, really well and busted out some work rate-y offense, which was, you know, fun to see, you know, work rate Jinder, I guess. I thought he was really, really good in this match. It was awesome to see AJ win with the calf crusher. Also, AJ's bump over the exposed part of the barricade early was horrifying.
It's classic AJ.
It's just insane. That match was great, and I loved him winning with the calf crusher. He's needed to win with that move for a while now. It just helps make finishers seem much more of a threat when you actually apply them in later big matches. Some people I do think there's, a lot of people say, well, you're just, you might say I'm biased against Jinder, you're just biased for him. I don't think Jinder's all that special in the ring. I thought the Nakamura match at SummerSlam was terrible. It was just Nakamura's fault. Jinder was bad in the match, too. Although I liked their Hell in a Cell match, and I liked the Orton matches on pay-per-view. There were some TV matches that I thought Jinder didn't look too good in. You know, I'm gender neutral.
No.
I don't really feel like I thought the match was really, really good.
Jinder strength has always been his character.
Yes, absolutely. I was just a little bit surprised. I think there was probably like 2/3 were positive about the match and 1/3 wasn't, I think, was kind of what I gathered. I thought it was a great match. And I think I liked it even more than the title switch from Manchester. So as far as what AJ does going forward, some people think he'll be facing Orton. I tend to think it'll be, well, I could be wrong because I kind of think they're probably going to involve Sammy and Kevin in the Rumble match. And have stuff like, because I originally thought, I bet they'll do a damn three-way with AJ defending against those two. And that still might be the case, but I kind of doubt it now. I think it's going to be more about, can they get in the Rumble match? Will Shane allow them in the Rumble match?
Well, there's that, too.
That's, that's the, you know, furthering of that crap. I think AJ Orton might be the path they go down, or maybe AJ Mojo. That's a possibility.
Well, if you're going to do that, the Rumble's a good pay-per-view for that to happen, although
yeah.
Mojo could be one of these guys, though, that could get that Rumble push.
Yep, so, I mean, yep, very possible. It might be better. I think it'd be better for Mojo to get the Rumble push. It'd get like 10 eliminations or something. And then do AJ Orton. I still think Nakamura's going to win the Rumble, and it's going to be AJ Nakamura at Mania. I still think that's the plan down the road. Just like I think the plan's still Brock and Roman, I think the plan's AJ Nakamura. On the SmackDown
that's
side.
That's very plausible because, I mean, Raw has Elimination Chamber. So, right. A Raw guy doesn't need to win the Rumble.
No, they don't. But yeah, it was a great main event and saved the show from being an F.
So what about gender? Where does gender go from here?
Gender? There have been rumors for a Cena feud or Mania. I don't know if that's the case or not. We'll see. I think a Cena feud seems logical in a lot of ways, honestly. And I think it would be entertaining. And it's a feud that I kind of want to see. So I kind of hope it happens down the line. And it would be fun to see at Mania. And it would be a huge match for Ginger to work and have at Mania.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm not really sure what they'll do with him. That's sort of the only path I can see him going down. But Cena's not going to be back till probably, what, Raw 25 at the earliest? He'll be on Christmas Raw, but he'll work Christmas Raw, but probably against Roman for the IC title. So,
yeah.
I think that might be the direction for Ginger.
Makes sense.
At the moment. I don't know what they do with him in between now and Rumble.
No.
Or in between now and February, but, you know.
SmackDown is so dearth of baby faces. I mean, and Jenner's already went to Orton Nakamura, and God knows we don't want to see that again.
Jeez.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Show thoughts here. Thumbs up, thumbs down, in the middle. Where do you lie?
I got to give it a thumbs down. The main event was great. The first two matches were good. The pre-show match was fun. But the middle was so bad. Dolph winning the title was bad. The first half of the four-way tag was bad. Too much bad. I have to give it a thumbs down. Easily the worst pay-per-view of 2017, WWE.
I agree. Thumbs down. That the whole Orton, Nakamura, Owen Zane, Brian Shane thing, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what the hell that was. Charlotte Natalya, oof.
God.
It's terrible. Dolph winning. I mean, just some very questionable booking. And there was some good stuff on the show, like we said. I mean, there was some stuff that was redeemable, but we got to look at this whole show as an entirety, and it just was not good. This was not good. So, that's the last one of the year, too. So, we won't have another one of these shows until January for the Royal Rumble, which can't wait for that. Always one of my favorite, always my favorite show of the year.
I don't know if this is the real Kayla Braxton, but she responded. I don't know if she has her check mark or not. Could be a parody account. But when I said that, because I had tweeted about her, Charlie, and Dasha looking alike, she said, "No, that's just silly," and replied to me. She must have vanity searched.
Ain't that something? Hey, they'll do it, brother.
That's always... It always cracks me up when the wrestlers.
Oh, there's a lot of good ones. Oh yes, a lot of masters at that craft. All right, that's it for us tonight. We'll, like I said, we'll be back in January for the Royal Rumble. So we'll see how that goes. And God, that's going to be well over a month away. So we'll be, it's going to be a while before we're doing these. So Devin, thanks as always. Oh, and also, for those of you that know of the Sheedy Awards, our buddy Les Moore at SheeSandwich.com has his annual podcast awards up, which, you know, I'm glad that he did it. As he's been on hiatus for most of the year. And this show is nominated for best review podcast or one, something like that. So vote for us. Vote for the Reaction Show.
Yeah, please do. It'd be great
to have another Sheedy Award on my resume and to have and for Devin to get one. So, yeah, think about us. And, of course, the PWOPWN Network is also up for Best Podcast Network. So vote for them as well. And also vote for all the awards that I'm in, Between the Sheets and Best Host and what have you. So don't forget about me. All right. I had to get that in there. All right, on that note, Devin, thanks as always. And this is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.